I would like to say welcome to everyone today. The Church of God at the end of this age, just before God will send His Son back to this earth, God said the Church of God would have to be a clean church. So we understand that the church that Jesus Christ returns to will be clean. And we are that church that is being prepared for the return of Jesus Christ back to this earth. We are the church of God that is preparing for the kingdom of God to come back to this earth and be set up upon this earth. That is our name. And we are preparing for what is about to take place upon this earth. The return of God's Son back to this earth, to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth, and to bring a just government to this earth. And that will begin to bring about peace to mankind. Peace that has so eluded man. But now, at that return of God's Son, peace will begin to be available to man. Peace that God gave up a long, long time ago. But it will be restored again, brother. I'm going to read what Ron wrote in Rest of the Mystery of the Ages. And Ron wrote that God's way is the way of all right living that produces the only true peace that exists in right relationships. By revealing, showing, teaching this way, the way of peace, evil was created. And this happened because in those created, there existed the choice to live a different way than the way of peace revealed by God. So when any being in God's creation chooses a different way of living other than the way of peace that God has shown, that God has given, then evil is created. So let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. And see what God inspired to be written. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, let's notice, which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, talking about the creation of mankind, and let's notice the rest of what is said and what it's speaking about and what it's waiting for awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation of mankind was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And the Greek also means destruction, corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Brethren, this bondage that we are under, this bondage comes from sin. And it's about choices. And it's about the choice of evil. It's about the choice of disobedience that leads to destruction and destructive lives. And we can see it in God's church, even to this day, that evil that is brought into the relationships. But God created you and me in this way for a purpose, and He created mankind in that way for the same purpose. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42, if you want to just note it, it says that we are sown in corruption, sown into destruction, better said. So we have been sown into this physical life subject to vanity. And that life comes into the bondage of corruption, destruction. And that is where mankind has been placed at this time. And we did a sermon some time back about God's garden. And that's very much what is being said here. It's about being planted and where we have been placed in life, in this physical life. So let's notice what is said back up in verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity, hostile against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and let's notice, neither indeed can be. The mind of man, by our nature that we all have, is hostile against God. And it's not subject to the law of God. We know that the angels were created by God, but we understand that they were created differently than man. They are created out of spirit, and man is created from the dust of the earth into a physical body. And the angels have a spiritual body. And the angels, so when it comes to the law of God, they were subject to God's law, and they are not hostile like us human beings are. They were naturally subject to the law of God. So we can see these differences of that spiritual creation of the angels and the creation of mankind. And we can discern the difference. Man was created out of the dust of the earth, the physical elements of this earth. And the other was created out of spirit. So they were sown differently than man. One was composed of spirit, and the other was composed physical. So that's an easy thing for you and me to understand and to comprehend. When we go back to the book of Genesis and look at what Adam and Eve was given, they were given the way to live their lives that we understand that they rejected. We know what they did. But God gave to Adam and Eve the way of life, that the way that they should live that life. And if they did so, that would produce peace. So we understand what we just read. They were sown in other words, they were made subject to vanity, just like all of mankind. When we read through what happened to Adam and Eve, we can see that it did not take Adam and Eve long to choose a different way of life. So evil was created in their relationship, because man is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be until they receive something else, talking about the Holy Spirit. But we can see that it did not take them long to become corrupted. And we can see that God says that they were sown in corruption, destruction. God said that His creation at that time, that it was very good. That was the first phase of God's creation, Adam and Eve. And it was God's purpose to make them in the way that they were made, so that their mind would not be naturally subject to the law of God, the ways of God. Man was created with free choice. And we saw what Adam and Eve did with that free choice. We saw what they did with that natural carnal mind that was naturally hostile to God. So they chose a different way than what God had told them to live their life. And we understand what they did. So when any being, whether in the spirit realm or in the physical realm, any being that God has created, when any of those beings choose a different way of life, a different way of living than the way of peace that God has given, then evil is created. So for those in the Church of God, PKG, the church that is preparing for the return of God's Son back to this earth, if we are not living that way of peace that God shows, the way that God says that we are to live our lives, evil is created in those relationships. And if this takes place, you will not be a part of God's church when Jesus Christ returns back to this earth. God will have no part of disobedience. God will have no part of sin in those of His church when Jesus Christ returns back to this earth. The church of God that Jesus Christ returns to will be clean, brethren. So remember these words the next time evil is created in your relationships, in your homes, with the very ones that you propose to love, the ones that are close to you, your husband, your wife, your children, your family, your friends. The Day of Atonement is a very beautiful day, brethren, in God's plan. Because it shows how we are to become at one with the great God of this universe. Forever, brethren, when we do, we can have eternal life if we become at one with our God. So when God said that He would build a temple to dwell in, we can see how the church of God is the place where that will be created. God tells us in His book how His family will be created. So let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 20. God has given you and me so much understanding, brethren, about His plan. We just celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles in the last great day. And we were given so much more understanding about God's plan and about what God is doing. God said that He would dwell in us. That's what God says. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20 and see where God explains how He will build His family. Verse 20. And are being built, better said, upon the foundation, that's how it will be done, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ Himself being the head of the corner, or being the chief cornerstone, as the New King James says, in whom all the building, let's notice, is fitly framed together and grows into a holy temple. And let's notice the rest, in the Lord. So let's pay attention to what is being said about us, in whom you also are being built together. Let's notice what for a habitation of God. And the Greek means dwelling place. Through the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. This temple of God is spoken about in God's book in many different ways. It is the place of God's rest that God has been working for so long to create. It is called Zion. It is called the Holy City, the temple of God, the kingdom of God, the family of God, the place of His rest. So God says it in many different ways throughout His book. So let's turn over to Psalms chapter 132. Psalms chapter 132, and let's see what David wrote in God's book. But God asked a question to Isaiah, and as you're turning to the book of Psalms, God asked Isaiah, where is the place of my rest? So in Psalms chapter 132 in verse 8, this is where God will give understanding about that very question. And He tells us about it in the Psalms through David. And it says, arise, O eternal, into your rest, you in the ark, which means the gathering of your strength. So this is a prophetic reference to God's rest that is gathered together into His strength. through his power into his greater power. So, brethren, this is a reference to God's Holy Spirit and the power that is contained in that Spirit from God. And from his power to produce what is being created through the Holy Spirit, his family, Elohim, the spiritual temple. Verse 13. For the Eternal, let's notice, has chosen Zion, another name that God uses for his place of rest. He has desired it for his habitation. It's pretty straightforward. His habitation, his dwelling place. This is my rest, let's notice, forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. So God is going to dwell in his temple, in Zion, which is his place of rest. So this is talking about the family of God. It's talking about God's family that he is creating, Elohim. And it said that God will always dwell in his family, is his place of rest, for eternity, brethren. And the family will dwell in God and have rest, peace forever. Eternal life, brethren, with eternal peace, peace forever. So today we will look at some of what John wrote about. And John tells us about how God dwells in us through the power of God's Holy Spirit. So let's turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll start in verse 10. And this is Jesus Christ telling us, and he's giving us understanding. And Jesus said, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father?" Let's notice what he's saying. "And the Father is in me. The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father who dwells in me. He does the works." So we can see that all power emanates from the great God of this universe. That is the source of it. Verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter," talking about the Holy Spirit, "that it may abide with you," let's notice, how long? "Forever." So God has revealed to us, his church, that is his purpose. And his purpose is to dwell in his family forever, into eternity, brethren, and for God's family to dwell in him, and he in them. And that's an awesome statement that John wrote, that Jesus Christ said about what is actually taking place. And that's what Jesus was saying way back then when he was walking physically upon this earth. And he asked him, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me?" That's the question that he proposed. So today we will be looking at, in this sermon, the many names that is used in God's book about his dwelling place. God's dwelling place. So this will be the title today, "The Many Names of God's Dwelling Place." The world is oblivious to what is about to take place upon this earth. Some have come to see certain things, and some are realizing that something is very wrong. And some are even beginning to think that it is actually the end time, but they actually have no idea what this really entails. Some have seen that mankind could bring about much destruction upon this earth, that man could destroy many cities with the weapons that man has created. But they cannot comprehend what man can actually do with these weapons. They think that they can fix things. They think that man has that ability. So they cannot comprehend what man will do with those weapons. Man can now destroy every living thing upon this earth, brethren. Only the Church of God understands the truth of what is about to take place. God has given His church understanding about the return of Jesus Christ and what that return actually entails. The first 6,000 years of God's plan, God had a purpose, and He was building the foundation for His church. In that time, those 6,000 years, God used that time to call, to mold, and to fashion those that would make up the foundation. The very beginning of God's government that would be established upon this earth at the return of His Son to this earth. So let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 2. This is read during the Feast of Tabernacles, just about every Feast of Tabernacles that I have ever attended. And Isaiah is writing about the future house of God. That's what it's about what God is doing. And Isaiah is telling us what will take place in the latter days. And Isaiah says that the mountain, talking about the government of the Eternal's house, talking about the eternal God of this universe and what He is about to do. Isaiah says that that government will be established upon the top of the kingdoms of this earth, talking about the governments of this earth, the nations of this earth, and will be exalted above the hills, talking about the smaller kingdoms, the cities, the smaller governing bodies that are here upon this earth. And let's notice what God wrote through Isaiah about what would take place. All nations will flow to it. Many people will come and say, "Come and let us go up to the government of the Eternal, the city of peace that has come to this earth, the government of God that is now here, a just government that will now teach mankind the correct way to live, to begin to bring peace once again, peace that God gave up a long, long time ago. And the way that God says to live will now be taught to mankind." Let's continue. "To the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways," just what we've been talking about, "and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion, the city of peace," the name that God is now using for His dwelling place, "for out of Zion, the city of peace, shall go forth the law." From those that are now in the God family, those that are now Elohim, those that are now a part of the government of God upon this earth. "And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So it's to go out from that city of peace that is now here upon this earth, to bring peace once again. "He will judge between the nations with the government," brethren, "that is now upon this earth." And let's notice, "and rebuke many people because of what will be taught." And let's notice what will take place. "They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." So, war will not be allowed anymore, brethren. That will be a thing of the past. God will deal with Satan at the end, and we know about that. But it will be short-lived. But for man, peace will finally be here upon this earth. The next 1,000 years, talking about the millennium, that time will be for the molding and fashioning of some that will be added next to Elohim, to the family of God. And during that 1,000 years, the millennium, That time will be used for the preparation for the 100 years that will follow the millennium. Everything, brethren, during the millennium is about preparing for the next phase of God's plan. That's what it's all about, that final 100 years. That's what the preparation is for 1,000 years during the millennium. Something will be exciting that will happen for those that were obedient to God. The Church of God, PKG, those that live into the millennium. And God says that now I know you just like he did to Abraham and have become at one with the great God of this universe. They will be resurrected into a spiritual body that will now have eternal life. They will become Elohim in the God family. And I find that very exciting, brethren. And I hope you understand what you have been offered, brethren. I hope you understand what you have been offered. You have been offered eternal life in the God family. You have been offered that treasure, that pearl of great price that God tells us about in his book. And now you will join other spirit beings, talking about the 144,000 for that last 100 years in God's plan. And I find that so exciting, brother. Those that have chosen God's way of life will now be spirit beings with eternal life. And now it's time for something else to take place. It's time for the rest of mankind to choose. To choose whether they want life or death. Whether they will choose eternal life with the great God of this universe and his Son. If they choose death, brethren, it will be as if they never existed. Poof. They will be gone. And that is so merciful to do it so swiftly, brethren. But those that are now resurrected into God's family are going to join those for a great work for the next 100 years, the 100 years period of God's plan. We know that they are not a part of the first fruits, that they are a part of the fall harvest that God tells us about in his book. God tells us in his book about a spring harvest and a fall harvest. And we know that this is about that fall harvest in God's plan, that 100-year period. God tells us in his book about the spring harvest and that it is called the first fruits. And we understand that Jesus Christ died and was resurrected from the dead and that he became our Passover and eventually for all of those that want this way of life. We know that Jesus Christ was the first of the first fruits. He was the first to enter Elohim. And we understand that the 144,000 is the rest of the first fruits to enter Elohim. We understand the order. We understand that it is God the Father, Jesus Christ, and then the 144,000. We understand that they will be spirit beings in the government of God, those first fruits. The Feast of Tabernacles paints you and me a picture of the millennium and the great white throne. And then it paints us a picture about a time at the end. The next 100 years in God's plan. So God has painted us a picture of his plan for man. And this is the plan that Satan did not like. God has a plan for those that want to be in his family. Those that want what God is offering them. Offering them that peace. Peace for eternity. God is offering eternal life without pain, without suffering, without any more tears. And we cannot comprehend such a thing with this physical mind. But that's what God says. God will offer that peace with no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, forever. God will restore that peace that He gave up a long time ago. God gave up peace when Satan did not like His plan for man. And peace was lost when Satan rebelled and took a third of the beings that became demons. And He took them into rebellion, and peace was no longer. But His days are limited, brethren. Peace will once again be restored back to this earth and for all the universe for in eternity, forever. And I find this so exciting, brethren, because after the 1,000 years, so many will be resurrected to spirit life, eternal life, with a spirit body. We understand that most will be resurrected back into a physical body so that they can choose. But this is also an exciting time in God's plan, because we can see those that we have loved, our families, our friends, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters. So this will be a most exciting time in God's plan. And now they will have the ability to choose what you have been offered, eternal life. God gave man free choice, brethren. And we can look at the history of man down through time. We can see what man did with that free choice. That free choice that man has, some will not choose God. And it's a hard thing to understand. But God gave man free choice, and they can still choose. They can choose life, or they can choose death. And this is the only way that peace can be restored once again. God is going to have peace again, brother. God warns man, and He warns us, His church. God knows man inside and out. He knows this nature that we all have, this human nature. And God knows exactly what we are like. God made us, and God knows what we are capable of doing. But God made man with free choice, so we can choose. We can choose to have what God is offering, or we can choose to reject God's offer. God has a plan for those that reject His offer. Poof, they will be gone. And that is so merciful. And now peace can be restored once again. And it's not long before it will begin to be restored. Jesus Christ will return in a short while, brethren. It's not long again to that return. Let's turn over to Psalms 48. Psalms chapter 48. And I'm going to read this in a different translation, so you can follow along the best that you can. But sometimes other translations capture the thought better. It captures the thought better than the King James. The heading in my Bible says that it's a song of the sons of Korah. And it says, "The Eternal is great and mighty, worthy of great praise. In the city of our true God, upon His holy mountain." So we see the time frame, and this is telling us about the future, when God's government will be here upon this earth. We know it will be with the 144,000. So let's notice what He said about this city of God called Mount Zion. Verse 2. "Situated high above, And we know that when God sends His Son back to this earth, there will be some awesome sights in the sky as He brings that city to this earth. And it says, let's notice, Mount Zion is beautiful to see. Those dazzling lights in the sky with the different colors, that's what they will see, brother. That's what man will see. The pleasure of the entire earth. So, it will be a beautiful sight, and it will be the pleasure of the entire earth eventually. So let's notice the rest of what is being said. Mount Zion in the north is the city of the great king. So it's telling us about this city. Verse 3, in her palaces, let's notice, the true God has revealed Himself as a mighty fortress. Not long ago, enemy kings gathered together and moved forward as one to attack the city. We know that mankind will turn and attack this great city that is coming to this earth. And let's notice what's being said. When they saw Mount Zion, they were amazed. And after this amazement, let's notice what will take place. Amazement became fear, then panic. They fled for their lives. They were overtaken by terror, trembling in anguish like a woman in childbirth. So we can see that there will be fear, brother. We know of other scriptures that tell us about this very thing. Verse 7. God, you shattered the ships of Tarshish with the mighty east wind. As we have heard stories of your greatness, so they knew about the power of God, and they had heard those stories. Now we have also seen it with our own eyes, right here, in the city of the Eternal, the commander of heavenly armies. Right here in God's city, the one that is coming to this earth on the day of Pentecost 2019. So let's notice what God had written. The true God will preserve her, let's notice, forever. We have meditated upon your loyal love, O God, within your holy temple. Just as your name reaches to the ends of the earth, so this is what will take place. We know about the mustard seed that God tells us about. We know about the statue that Daniel told us about. How that stone would strike that image. And then what God is doing will go unto all the earth. So, just as your name reaches to the ends of the earth, O God, so your praise flows there too. So people will begin to change, brother. Your right hand holds justice. So because of your judgments, let's notice, may Mount Zion be delighted. May the villages of Judah celebrate. Explore Zion. Make an accounting. Note all her towers. Reflect upon her defenses. Stroll through her palaces. Let's notice. So that you can tell the coming generation all about her. For so is God, our true God, forever and ever. He will be our guide till the end. So let's go over to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9 is where we will start. And there came unto me, let's see who it was, one of the seven angels. And let's see what the angels had. Who had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. So we know when this is. We know the time frame. It's when the seven last plagues are in the hands of those of the angels. And the seventh trumpet is blown. And it says, let's notice, one of the seven angels who had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues talked with me saying, come here. And let's see what the angel was showing. and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's what he was being shown. John was being shown. So it is said in so many different ways in God's book about God's Son returning to this earth. Here it is explained as the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. And we see it in other scriptures as the 144,000, the government of God, Mount Zion, City of Peace, New Jerusalem. But here it is being used. It is the Lamb's wife. John is being shown what is taking place. So the angel told John about the Lamb's wife that is coming to this earth and how it will be done. Something appears in the heavens, and man is now seeing something happening in the sky. And it says, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. We know this is about God's kingdom, God's government that is coming to this earth. And it's being shown to John as the Lamb's wife. And many names are used in God's book for what God's dwelling place will be. We understand about the mountains and the hills that are used in God's book. We know it's talking about large kingdoms, small kingdoms, large nations and small nations, large cities, small cities, the kingdoms of this earth. That's what it's talking about. All of them, brother. And he showed me. And let's notice what it's being called here. That great city. Holy Jerusalem. So there are many ways of saying it in God's book. The holy city, Zion. Here it is being used as that great city. Holy Jerusalem. And the only way that something can be holy is if God is in it, brother. That's the only way. We just read Psalms 48 where it said it's about Zion. Zion stands most beautiful. And that is the song that so many of us used to sing in the Church of God. Mount Zion stands most beautiful. And I can hear those words even to this day in my mind. We used to sing that song so much. It's a beautiful thing when God gives understanding, brother. God gives understanding that it is about the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And it's about those that are to become Elohim. And it says here, Holy Jerusalem. So we understand what is being talked about. And it can only be holy when God is in it. And God says that it will be His dwelling place. So John is being shown this city, Holy Jerusalem. Descending, let's notice what's taking place. Descending out of heaven from God. Let's notice. Having the glory of God. We know that something will be manifested in the sky that mankind has never seen before. The church that is being prepared for that return understands what is taking place. And those that have been changed to spirit will understand what God is doing. And they are participating. But God is going to show into heaven something that mankind has never seen before. And let's see how it was explained to John. Having the glory of God. And her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So God is describing this in his book to John. And we know how God used diamonds, jewels, and how those colors of those jewels produce the beauty that they do, and how they sparkle, and how they have that color that is transparent throughout those jewels, those sapphires and the diamonds, the blue diamonds, the pink diamonds, and all the beautiful colors that God has created through all these precious jewels, all these precious stones. And the way it is explained in God's book, it's like a sea of glass with all those colors of those jewels mixed in that sea of glass. Mankind cannot comprehend what is taking place, but they can see those things in the sky. The holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. This is what the earth is seeing. All that dazzling signs in the sky. And John says it's the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. That's what it is. Having the glory of God, its radiance, let's notice, like a rare jewel. We saw earlier how it would be a transparent, like the different colors through that sea of glass. And it says here the appearance of a rare jewel. And when something is rare, when it's talking about jewels, diamonds, precious stones, that makes them so expensive that most cannot ever afford such a thing, brethren. It says, like a jasper, clear as crystal. So here it's being shown, just like that sea of glass, clear, transparent. And it has all those colors running through it. So God gives us some understanding. I know we can never understand it fully, but He does paint us a picture somewhat of what it will look like through that sea of glass and those colors that are running through that sea of glass and all the brilliance and the sparkling. So God gives us a semblance of what it will look like. Verse 12, it had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. So we can see what some of the jobs of some of the angels will be. We see their job description. They will be at the gates. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. The south and the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles of the Lamb. So we can see how it is being described. Verse 15 gives us the angels' measurements of the city. And we cannot comprehend this. But it gives us the magnificence of the city and a glimpse of how it was explained to John. The wall, verse 18. Was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. So we know what pure gold looks like. And it's being explained here, clear as glass. So that is the appearance that was given to John. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every jewel. And it goes on to name them jasper, sapphire, emerald, and the topaz. And in verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. So we can see the description that was given to John. In verse 22, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or the moon to shine upon it. For the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light, in other words, its illumination of how to live, that's what it's about, the way for man to live, so that they can become in the God family. Elohim. So by its light, its illumination of how to live, shall the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. Nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood. but only those, let's notice, who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those that accept what God is offering them, brethren. Only those that become in the God family. God tells us about a final battle that will take place upon this earth. And this is description that God gave to John in what they will see in the heavens. And it's what is called Armageddon. And in the movies that have been produced, such as Independence Day, it shows where man thinks he has been overtaken by aliens. Something from outer space. So man is going to believe that they are being invaded from outer space. And by what we have seen today, we can understand why they would believe such a thing. We have seen the descriptions that God lets you and me understand of what will take place. We know that man will turn and fight and try to destroy what they see in the sky, those signs that they see in the heavens. And by the angel's description, as we just saw, it is massive, brother, those signs in the sky, and they think it's coming to destroy them, and it is. It's coming to take over the governments, the kingdoms of this earth, and they are about to become the kingdoms of the great God of this universe and His Son, brother. Let's go back to verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So this is telling us about the end of the 1,100 years, to where it's all been accomplished. God's kingdom is here, and the end of the 1,100 years is complete. All will be spirit beings at the end. That is what John is being shown in the vision. And there will be no more human life. So when it says a new heaven and a new earth, everything is now spirit, brethren. It says, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. It's not that they don't exist anymore. God's plan for man to become in His family is complete. And now everything is new. A new beginning. Satan has been destroyed. All those that rebelled are not here anymore. All are dead. Only those that are in the God family are here. Peace has been restored once again. And it is a new beginning, brethren. The earth and the universe that we can see through that Hubble telescope, that creation can now begin to be worked with. So when it says a new heaven, that includes all those things that are out there in outer space. And now they will be worked with by the family of God that is now spirit. Brethren, everything that God has created is for a purpose. Everything. The whole universe. We don't understand what is to be done out there in outer space. But it's out there for a purpose. All of it, brethren. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So we see the different ways that are used to describe about what will take place. And when John saw this, it's the beginning of the millennium. That is the time frame of what John saw. And so this is what all those upon this earth will see in the sky, in the heavens. They will see those dazzling lights, those dazzling signs in the sky. And it is the bride. It is the holy city. It is New Jerusalem. It is Mount Zion. And it is said in so many different ways in God's book. So John was shown about God's family, the first fruits, the 144,000. The first phase of God's plan for those becoming in the God family, Elohim. So this is the beginning of what John saw about the new heaven and a new earth, the first phase. But now God will focus upon creating the rest of His family, those that will choose to become Elohim. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, let's notice, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, is with men, better said, and He will dwell with them. God will now do this through His government, the 144,000 that have now entered into His family. They have become Elohim. And now God will dwell in them. They are now spirit beings in the God family. And they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. We know that this cannot fully take place until everything is complete, when everything is finished, when there is a new heaven and a new earth, when there is no more human life, when everything that will be there is spirit beings. That's when God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death. God says that the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. We know what 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. You don't have to turn there. We know that it tells us a time when there will be no more death. And we know that that's what was written about the last enemy that was to be destroyed was death. And that is when only spirit beings will be here with eternal life in the God family when that takes place. Poof. They are all gone, brethren. And now everything that is left is spirit. God says there will be no more sorrow. And this is when that will take place. No more crying. No more pain. The 1,100 years will be over when that takes place. And now a new heaven and a new earth is here. Verse 5, He who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. No more tears. No more sorrows. No more pain. God says, let's notice, the former things are passed away. Everything is to become new. It's all over. All that remains is the family of God, Elohim. And He said, right, for these words are true and faithful. That's what God says. And He said unto me, it is done. Let's notice, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him who is thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. And it leads up to the very end when everything is complete in God's plan for man. He who overcomes will inherit all things. And that's when the final phase of God's plan will be accomplished. That's when there will be no more tears, no more pain. And it's going to take 1,100 years, brethren, to complete it. God says, let's notice what He says. He who overcomes will inherit all things. That treasure that God tells us about in His book. That pearl of great price that one can have. This is that time, brethren, when they will inherit all things. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars will have their part. Let's notice. In the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Poof, they are gone. Gone forever. Never to exist again. The angel showed John that lake of fire. The lake of fire which burns with brimstone, which is the second death. Remember 1 Corinthians 15. where it said the last enemy that would be destroyed is death. This is that time, brethren. The second death for man. Death for Satan that rebelled. Never to be able to influence man anymore. He really underestimated the power of the great God of this universe, brethren. Let's go to Revelation 20. And let's see what was written about that being and what would happen to him. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He will be put in his prison at the beginning of the millennium into a place of restraint, so that he and his demons cannot influence man for 1,000 years. And it says, cast him into a bottomless pit, shut him up and set a seal upon him. And let's notice what he said. That he should deceive the nations no more for 1,000 years. And after that, he will be let loose for a short while. We know about that time. We know that he will wreak havoc upon man once again. But we know it will be short-lived, and God will deal with that swiftly. But Satan will be put in his prison for 1,000 years. And he will influence man once again at the very end. And it's hard to comprehend, but they have free choice. God had it written in his book that it will be so many that they will encompass the breadth of the earth. That's the way it was shown to John. And he wrote about it in God's book. Verse 4. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them who were, and it says beheaded in the King James, but we know what it means. It just simply means cut off. When you're cold, you're cut off from the rest of the world. That's actually what happens. And you begin to live this way of life, and then you become persecuted for what you believe. And you suffer because of your obedience to God in the way that he says you are to live your life. And you're persecuted for that. All of us are. And let's notice. And have the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. And have not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither has received the mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The 144,000 will become the government of God upon this earth. And they will live and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And they are a part of those first fruits that we talked about earlier. And it explains about the rest of mankind that is dead. And it tells us when they will be resurrected back to life. And we saw earlier how some will be resurrected back to spirit life. And then there will be some resurrected back into a physical body to live life physically once again for that 100-year period. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. So everyone during the millennium will live and die. And then a great resurrection will take place. Verse 6. Let's notice what God said about those in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, because they are now spirit, and they have eternal life. And let's notice what their job will be. They will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him 1,000 years. So the 144,000 will be priests of God and of Christ. And they are blessed and holy, is what God says. And on them the second death will have no power. because they are already spirit. God tells us that it is appointed upon men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we understand that when man dies and then they are resurrected, they are resurrected to a time of judgment. And this is what the 100-year period of time at the end is about. So let's look at what John was shown about this judgment and what it was to do. John chapter 5 in verse 26. John chapter 5 and verse 26. For as the Father has life in Himself, let's notice, so has He given to the Son in order to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and will come forth. We understand that there are different times when this takes place, as everyone is resurrected in their order. And will come forth, those who have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they who have done evil, unto the resurrection of judgment, better said. And at the time of the great white throne, this is when all that are dead are going to hear that voice of Jesus Christ. That's when it takes place. We know that 144,000 have already heard that voice, and they are spirit beings. But some are going to be changed to spirit when they hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And that is so exciting, brethren, to understand these words. Some will now have eternal life, and some are going to be resurrected to judgment in a physical body, to live again for that 100 years. And this is the great white throne judgment. Turn over to Zechariah chapter 14. Brethren, God gives us an overview of His plan. His plan for man. Zechariah chapter 14, and let's look at verse 16. We know that all the religions that have been upon this earth in 6,000 years, we know that there are some, especially in the Middle East, that have been taught some things that will be hard for them to overcome. And Zechariah addresses some of these in chapter 14, and we will look at some of this. So in verse 16, it will come to pass. So let's notice who it's talking about. That everyone who is left of all the nations, let's notice, which came against Jerusalem. So we know what takes place when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. So it's everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem as it was returning. So we know that what mankind will do when they see those signs in the heavens. And we know that they will turn and fight with what they see in the heavens. We know what their reactions will be. They cannot accept the truth at this time. They have been taught, and it is so ingrained in them. And it will come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Eternal of Hosts. So, let's notice who they are to worship, the great God of this universe. We know how we are to worship. We know the order of things. It's God the Father and then Jesus Christ. Brethren, God is going to make this earth beautiful again. It's going to become like the Garden of Eden once again. God will use that 1,000 years of rule upon this earth to beautify this earth. and to offer man the correct way to live life. But we know that man still has free choice. And we know that they will still make wrong choices even when Jesus Christ is upon this earth. We know that God will stop all wars during the millennium. And this will bring about much change to this earth. But let's notice what will happen if they disobey, if they don't come into obedience. And it will come to pass, and let's notice who it is, those who don't come up to worship, there will be no rain. So we can see that God will control the rain. And if the family, let's notice who it is, of Egypt will not go up, it's that Middle East section upon the earth. But we know this has a greater spiritual meaning too, because we all come out of Egypt spiritually. But if they will not come up to keep the feast before God, they will have no rain. There will be the plague if they do this, is what God says. And we know about the plagues of the past in God's book and how it brought about much death. And there will be those that are going to die, brethren, because of disobedience, because of their choices to disobey, even when Jesus Christ is upon this earth. There's going to be death because they refused to obey God. So if those don't come up, there will be a plague, and death usually gets man's attention. And we can go back in the history of man. That is what always got man's attention, death. So if they don't come up, they are going to die. God says that man will be humbled. They will be humbled and they will have to come to repent. God says man will be humbled. And it says, this will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations, not just Egypt, who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. We know about this nature in man, about this human nature. It doesn't go away, brethren. Still here. Mankind will have human nature during the millennium and in the great white throne. And we're reading about some of it here. Most of mankind will have to be resurrected into a physical body once again so that they can choose life or death. But can we imagine what the earth will look like after this 1,000 years? The earth will become like the Garden of Eden once again. And that's what they have been resurrected into, man. And they will see a beautiful world that has been created. But God says man, all of mankind will be humbled. And this includes that great white throne period of time. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Isaiah wrote what God inspired him to write about what he will do. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former will not be remembered, nor come into mind. So God is creating a new world where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, and we cannot comprehend such a time. But this is what God is offering to man. Verse 18. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. And you and me, we do already. We rejoice in what God is creating. God has given us some understanding of His plan for man. And we are excited by what we see. We are excited by what God is creating. The God family. God gives us a glimpse of what is going to happen during the millennium And then he gives us a glimpse of what happens during that great white throne, that time of judgment, that 100 years. And God says, be glad and rejoice forever, in which he creates. For behold, let's notice, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing. Because it's a spiritual creation, brethren. That's what he's creating. A spiritual creation in the God family. And he says he's creating her people a joy. Joy forever, brethren. And we cannot imagine that one. God says, let's notice where he will rejoice. He will rejoice in Jerusalem. Joy in my people. That's what he says. His dwelling place. And the voice of weeping will no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. So how could anyone refuse such an offer, brethren? But we know some will reject God's offer. And that is a hard thing to comprehend. How could someone turn down such an offer as this? To be in God's creation, his family, Elohim. Let's go back to Revelation 21. In verse 1. So when it says, a new heaven and a new earth, Jerusalem, holy Jerusalem, Mount Zion, something that is holy, that's the context of what is being said. Something that is holy. So it's about God's creation. And it's called many different names in this book. Holy Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Mount Zion. Holy City. Bride of Christ. The 144,000. So, brethren, God has given you and me understanding about the stages of his creation. Verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city. See, that's what it's about, New Jerusalem. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. So John uses the bride as a name. One of the names. One of the many names of God's dwelling place. Prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. So it's about a resurrection at that time of 144,000, the bride of Jesus Christ. And it paints us a beautiful, beautiful picture of what is taking place in God's plan. Verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, let's notice, is with men. And he will dwell with them. Within God's government, through that government that is now upon this earth. Jesus Christ is upon this earth with the 144,000, his bride, the bride of Christ. It is the kingdom of God that is now set up upon this earth. And now the government of God will be established upon this earth. That's what these verses are about. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. So at the end, when everyone is spirit and God's plan is complete, it's a time that leads up to a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more death, no more crying, and no more pain. And it's all a process of 1,100 years. God says that he will make everything new. And now the creation can start of the universe. And now it's a new beginning. And now all those planets can be worked with. Everything that we can see through that Hubble telescope. Let's turn over to Isaiah 54 and let's finish up. Isaiah 54, and I'll read this in a different translation also. But it's about God's love for Israel, for what He is creating. Isaiah 54 and verse 1. Jerusalem. Let's notice who it's about. Jerusalem. You have been like a childless woman, but now you can sing and shout for joy. Now you will have more children than a woman whose husband never left her. Make the tent you live in larger. Lengthen its ropes and strengthen the pegs. When Jesus Christ sets His foot upon this earth to teach mankind the way to live, we will have to make the tents, it's a good example, we will have to make the tents larger, brethren, because there will be so many joining the God family, Elohim. And that's what this is speaking about. And it says, make the tent you live in larger, lengthen its ropes and strengthen the pegs. You will extend your boundaries on all sides. Your people will get back the land that the other nations now occupy. Cities now deserted will be filled with people. Do not be afraid. You will not be disgraced again. You will not be humiliated. You will forget your unfaithfulness as a young wife and your desperate loneliness as a widow. Your Creator will be like a husband to you. The Lord Almighty is His name. The Holy God of Israel will save you. Let's notice who He is. He is the ruler of all the world. Israel, you are like a young wife, deserted by her husband and deeply distressed. But the Lord calls you back to Him and says, for one brief moment I left you. With deep love I will take you back. I turned away angry for only a moment, but I will show you my love forever. So says the Eternal who saves you. In the time of Noah, I promised never again to flood the earth. Now I promise not to be angry with you again. I will not reprimand or punish you. The mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. I will keep forever, let's notice, my promise of peace. The one that He gave up, brethren, but the one that He will restore once again. God says, I will keep forever, for an eternity, peace. Peace forever, brethren. So says the Eternal who loves you. The Eternal says, O Jerusalem, you suffering, helpless city, with no one to comfort you. Let's notice what He said. I will rebuild your foundations with precious stones. Just as John was shown, and the example that John used about those precious stones, the jewels, the diamonds, all the rest of those precious and valuable stones. And let's notice the rest of how it is explained. I will build your towers with rubies, your gates with stones that glow like fire, and the wall around you with jewels, just like the angel showed John. I myself, will teach your people and give them prosperity, let's notice, and peace. Write, God said, write, for these words are true and faithful. It's what God says. And that completes the sermon today.